I'm Brandi Cruz, coming up today on Undivided. Attacks against ICE agents are skyrocketing, and it's pretty obvious why. Plus, jury selection is underway as we speak in the case of an Island County, Washington election observer who refused to wear a mask during ballot counting. And the state of Washington has mysteriously ceased publishing monthly spending data. I wonder why. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can and really should support our show for just $5 a month. It's how this show exists. Just sign up to become a paid subscriber at Undivided Pod. That's UndividedPod.com. And just click on the banner that says support the show. Hello and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. We have a ton to get to. I'm going to do a segment in excruciating detail on the immigration issue, the attacks and threats against ICE agents, and where all of that is stemming from. But I have an update on a story that you guys have been constantly asking for updates on. I am kind of blown away that it's even got to this point. But right now, as we speak, jury selection is happening in the case of that Island County, Washington election observer, one of two now facing felony charges because they refused to put a mask on this past November 2024, okay, while ballots were being counted. So the one who is starting his trial today is Tim Hazelow. A reminder, here's the body camera footage that was worn by law enforcement when they went to confront him for, again, not wearing a mask.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Miller?
What's your name?
Tim Hazelow.
Tim Hazelow?
Yeah, good to meet you.
Good to meet you.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've met before.
So, tell me what's going on here.
I'm just observing my civil rights as the observer.
Okay, but as I know, they made a policy that you wear a mask while you're in there.
Which the RCW doesn't give them the authority to do so.
That's still a policy that's been set. You need to leave.
Are you going to write me a citation?
If I need to.
Then
let's go. The charge is disorderly conduct.
Gotcha.
Okay, you have a mandatory court appearance.
Okay.
Do you have any other questions for
no,
me? I'm going to ask you not to return here today.
I won't.
Or you can end up in jail.
I won't. Okay. Should I go sign out, though?
What's that?
Because I have to sign in as an observer. Should I sign out?
I will escort you up there to sign out.
Okay.
And then you can be on
the
way.
No, that makes sense. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Good grief. Just an insane situation. So he's cited for disorderly conduct. So he's thinking, well, I've just got to pay a ticket or something. No, because this became one of the most egregious examples of malicious prosecution, politically motivated prosecution I have ever seen or covered. So there's a prosecutor in Island County, the elected prosecutor, his name is Greg Banks. He ends up turning this case into a felony for this election observer who in 2024, years after the pandemic, didn't wear a mask while he was observing ballots being counted. Now, at the time when we covered this, we broke the news about why I felt as if Greg Banks, the elected prosecutor in Island County, was pursuing this case so aggressively to have it not only rise to the level of a felony, but he's personally prosecuting it. He never does this. He is personally the prosecutor on the case. And we showed you at the time some of his old social media posts. He hates Donald Trump. He hates Trump supporters. Tim Hazelow is not only a Republican, but he was for a time the chair of the Island County Republican Party. And here you've got Greg Banks, the prosecutor, who's on social media comparing Trump supporters to the KKK, calling them racist bullies with second grade intellects and behavioral disorders, saying that you should get free admission and an all attraction pass to Disney World if you wear a MAGA hat and masks are prohibited, suggesting that he wants MAGA supporters who won't wear a mask to die because they get COVID at Disneyland, saying collateral damage is a bitch, saying we need to cleanse society of the diseased thinking of Trump supporters. This is the prosecutor who is pursuing a felony against Tim Hazelow and a second election observer under the same circumstances. Despite all of this coming out, today jury selection begins. It's just, it is so crazy that we got to this point. So in terms of it becoming a felony, again, this is absolutely malicious prosecution. I just want to catch you guys up before I get to, I think, some of the keys of the case as it's going to unfold in the days, maybe even weeks ahead. So again, Tim Hazelow gets, you know, this citation, disorderly conduct. We find out a couple months later that Greg Banks, the elected prosecutor, is going to be the prosecutor on this case and immediately threatens Tim Hazelow with a felony. This is from the Whidbey Island Times, came out on February 7th of this year. North Whidbey man charged with felony over refusal to wear mask in elections office. So this case turned into, from a disorderly conduct case, like have to pay a citation, maybe go, you know, to court on a misdemeanor, to using a state RCW that is on the books to prohibit unlawful entry into an election facility. Which it's very clear, by the way, the RCW is written, that this has to do with someone like breaking in to try to like steal ballots. It's very clear what the motivation behind that felony RCW is. Like, yeah, if somebody breaks into an election office or barges into an election office who isn't supposed to be there, yeah, that probably should be a felony crime because it risks the sanctity of the elections. But that's not what Tim Hazelow did. So now, I'm told, leading up to today's jury selection, the court dismissed the disorderly conduct charge. That's not even part of this now. So the initial thing he was cited for, misdemeanor, isn't even part of it. Now it's trespassing and this felony unlawful entry charge under that statute that clearly doesn't apply to this case. Tim Hazelow literally had to sign in as an election observer and go in there with permission to be in there. And they asked him to leave, and he left. But you're going to charge him with felony unlawful entry of an election facility? Just crazy. So this is, again, jury selection. I literally just checked in with Tim Hazelow a couple minutes ago. I don't see how he's prosecuted. I don't see how he's convicted of this. Maybe I'm being Pollyannish. I don't see. You just need one common sense person on the jury to see that this case is completely blown out of proportion. One, the mask mandate shouldn't even have been a thing in 2024, but that's not what the jury is going to decide on. They're not going to decide on the merits of the mask mandate. They're going to decide on whether he was trespassing and whether he gained unlawful entry to an election facility. But here's the thing that I think the jury ought to be presented with and ought to weigh, which I'm sure Tim Hazelow's defense team will make a pretty, I would hope, a significant part of this case. Tim Hazelow isn't the only one in there who wasn't wearing a mask. On video, the day after this story came out, Como News sent a reporter up there. And they have their camera that's just shooting B-roll, you know, generic video of the ballot counting location, talking to the county auditor about what happened and the rule around masking. And captures in this video, you'll see it if you're watching far right on your screen, an old man in there not wearing a mask, no mask in sight. The county election office tried to say after that video was aired on Como News, oh, he was taking a drink. Do you see anything? Do you see him taking a drink? No, he's clearly got a ballot in his hand. He's counting it. He didn't get kicked out. He didn't get cited for disorderly conduct. He's not facing a felony. Why? And then the police officers who came in, not only in Tim Hazelow's case, but in the case of the other woman who's also facing a felony charge, they're not wearing masks either. So if wearing a mask is such a big deal, why were so many people in this ballot counting center not masked? But because Tim Hazelow, a Republican, a Trump supporter, wasn't wearing a mask, now he is facing a felony conviction? So that, to me, would be Exhibit A. Exhibit B would be the prosecutor's own social media posts. Now, I don't know if a judge is going to deem those admissible, because I don't know if you can call into question the character of the prosecutor in the midst of the trial. Maybe that's something that they've already deemed is inadmissible in court, but certainly, if my defendant is facing a felony charge and he's a Trump supporter over something so blatantly ridiculous, I should have a right to provide him with the best defense possible by pointing out that the elected prosecutor who's chosen to personally prosecute the case literally hates and hopes Donald Trump supporters die. But to me, the mask thing on its own should be enough to get this case tossed out by a jury. So I'm hoping for Tim Hazelow. Let's think about Tim today. This is insane, malicious prosecution, politically motivated prosecution. Look, at the end of the day, if there's a rule to wear a mask, you can challenge the rule in court. Maybe he should have just went the civil route and just got up and left when they asked him to leave. I don't know what would have happened then. But it was a stupid rule to begin with. Maybe a citation, certainly not a felony. You're talking about a felony, guys. Think of all the felony crimes in this state they just let go or they give a slap on the wrist to. gosh, the right, left-wing activists were just out calling for a pardon for an immigrant. Well, I guess he's illegal now because he didn't have a right to stay in the country after he served 25 years for murder. And the lefties are all like, oh, give him a pardon, let him go. Felonies, when they're violent felonies, are no big deal. But if you're a Republican and you don't wear a mask in an election office, throw the book at them. And not to mention, Tim Haslow's career is on the line over this. His job requires a security clearance. And he's not going to be able to keep a security clearance if he gets convicted of a felony. It's so crazy. So we're going to be monitoring this. I wish I could get up there for trial, but I'm here with you guys every day. Love being with you guys. But we'll get updates from Tim Haslow as things go. Shame on Greg Banks, though. Shame on you, sir. First of all, you should have recused yourself. We asked him, if you'll recall, why don't you recuse yourself given your clear hatred for Trump supporters? And he told us, oh, well, those posts are old and I've since thought better and stopped making jokes on social media and I can separate my personal political bias from this case. Clearly not. Because why are you taking it yourself? And he responded to us saying, oh, this is about the sanctity of our election. So I, as the elected prosecutor, have to jump in and do this case. Wild stuff. It's just crazy stuff. So Tim Haslow, wishing him the best. I hope they can get at least one sane juror on that jury to hear this case. All right. I want to talk about political violence from the left, which, of course, is a far worse issue in this country than political violence on the right. And that's just a fact. And I'm not going to both sides it. I'm not going to couch it in anything. It's ridiculous. Everybody wants to go back to January 6th. And that's fine. We've had that conversation for many, many years now. I condemned it at the time. But they want to excuse hundreds, if not thousands, of instances of left-wing political violence all in the name of January 6th. And I'm just not going to do it anymore. I think it's ridiculous. So there was a shooting that happened in the Ballard neighborhood of Seattle, which wouldn't really be all that unusual. We don't really cover crime stuff on this show all that often, unless there's some sort of nexus with politics. And it seems like there is in this case. Why? Well, why don't you take a look at the window that was shot at this Ballard home? If you're only listening on the podcast today, these images from Como News. Donald Trump stickers, sticker of Donald Trump saying fight, 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 sticker of America saying love it or leave it, police lives matter, an American flag. Is that a Confederate flag? I don't really agree with that one, but you know, all the other ones, totally normal. But clearly this is a Republican's house. Clearly this is a Republican's house who really loves Donald Trump and police. And secure borders. Got a few bullets shot through the window. I'm kind of shocked that Como News and the Seattle Police Department are at least acknowledging that, yes, this is probably a politically motivated shooting. I mean, it's a little too obvious to ignore it, right? So again, I want to give credit to Como News for going out there and doing this story. Seattle home potentially targeted in shooting due to political and ideological signs. Police are investigating after multiple gunshots were fired into a home in Ballard early Sunday morning. The Seattle Police Department said the house was, quote, potentially targeted due to political and ideological signs in the window of the residence. According to SPD, officers responded to reports of shots fired at the home around 3 a.m. Sunday. That's when they found several bullet holes, specifically in the window, that had all this pro-Trump material in it. The homeowner told Como News she believes she's being targeted because of her personal and political beliefs, and similar incidents have happened twice before. Another woman who lives in the neighborhood named Iwa Sporna, she talked to Como and said, they always damage her window and car. I'm surprised. I thought once, twice, but a third time is a little too much. Yeah, I have to agree that one time would be a little too much, but two times, three times, then it becomes very obvious that it's politically motivated. But again, not a particular surprise. I mean, Seattle is one of the most intolerant places on the planet. Even though they scream tolerance and love and inclusion, all of that is only true if you agree with them on every single thing and you don't dissent at all. For good measure, we did reach out to the Seattle Police Department just to confirm what Como News is reporting. They told us in a statement this morning, the incident that occurred on 56th Street has been assigned to a bias crimes unit detective and gun violence reduction unit. Detectives are assisting. This continues to be an ongoing and active investigation. We have no additional information available at this time. Gee, sounds like another case for the bias crimes hotline, Nicole? Sounds like another case for Washington's bias crimes hotline. So make sure you give it a call and report that the left wingers are shooting up Republicans' home again. So I hope that they find out who did this, because easily could have killed someone. I mean, 3 a.m, firing gunshots through someone's window. That's attempted murder to me. I mean, that is no care for human life. I mean, you know, if you're shooting into someone's home, that you can kill them. So this is someone who's willing to kill someone because they support Donald Trump. Got it. But this really isn't a surprise. Again, like, left-wing violence has become the norm. This is what they do when they disagree with you, when they disagree with your ideas. They turn into vandals. They turn into violent extremists. They will hurt you. They will harass you. They will scare you. They will dox you. They will do anything they feel like they need to do to shut you up or to get you to change your mind. And they have a long, long history of this. Should we give the hate crime hotline out one more time? 1-855-225-1010. 1-855-225-1010. Make sure that hate crime hotline in the state of Washington that's going to report that hate crime hotline data to the legislature knows damn well who is perpetrating most of the hate-motivated, bias-motivated crimes in the state of Washington. It's not even close. And of course, we see this happening across the country as well, although we've been dealing with left-wing extremism here for the better part of 20 years. Same with a lot of, you know, West Coast cities, New York as well, but other areas are starting to see it around the immigration issue in particular. So there were two shootings, both targeting ICE immigration agents, both in Texas over the weekend, one on the 4th of July, one on July 7th. On the 4th of July, this is from the New York Times, police officers shot outside immigration detention facility in Texas. Several armed people were taken into custody after officers responded to a report of a suspicious person outside the detention center. This one was in Alvarado, Texas. 10 people, by the way, now face federal charges for attempted murder, which is great. I'm glad they were able to arrest that many people. That's what happens when you have a federal government run by Donald Trump, who isn't going to let it stand. The second incident on July 7th, suspect in Texas Border Patrol ambush shooting identified as Ryan Luis Mosqueda. You'll probably recall there was a guy showed up outside a Texas Border Patrol facility in July 7th. He opens fire at the entrance of the facility. This is in McAllen, Texas. A couple officers were hit. I believe 3 officers total. Agents were injured. They returned fire and ended up killing him. So for those of you with common sense who can see what's happening politically, this really is not a surprise, because there's been so much hate and vitriol surrounding immigration agents specifically. I mean, yes, you know, we've always had disagreements on the immigration front, but the extent to which individual federal immigration agents have been labeled and vilified and doxxed and targeted, it was only a matter of time before people took up arms and started to try to kill them. And I don't think that we're going to see this stop. In fact, so the one that happened on the 4th of July, where now 10 people are facing federal charges for attempted murder, in the court documents, if you look at them, you'll see a familiar word of the items that they had with them, in addition to guns and, you know, full tactical gear. A flag that says, resist what? Resist fascism. Fight the oligarchy. Resist fascism, fight the oligarchy. In the possession of individuals who went to an ICE detention facility and shot a police officer in the neck. Those two phrases sound familiar to you? Resist fascism, fight the oligarchy. Those are phrases and labels that have been used by nearly every single Democratic member of Congress to describe the Trump administration, to describe the Trump administration's efforts on the border, to describe ICE and immigration officials. So you have the most powerful people in the country on the Democratic side spewing these phrases online, at rallies, on cable news. And then you have people with flags carrying those exact phrases who go to an ICE detention facility and try to murder ICE agents. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to put 2 and 2 together. I'll also note, before the, as we talk about the media's involvement in all of this, so 4 hours before the armed man opened fire on the Homeland Security building in McAllen, Texas, 4 hours before that, Axios posted this article, Democrats told to get shot for the anti-Trump resistance. And in the article published in the morning on July 7th, they talked about what Democratic members of Congress are hearing as they hold town halls across the country. And basically that they're hearing from their constituents that their constituents want them to do more. They want this to turn violent. It says some of them have suggested what we really need to do is to be willing to get shot when visiting ICE facilities or federal agencies, a House Democrat told Axios. Quote, our own base is telling us that what we're doing is not good enough, that there needs to be blood to grab the attention of the press and the public. A fourth House Democrat said constituents have told them civility isn't working and to prepare for violence to fight to protect our democracy. Now, this Axios article centers around what constituents are telling these House Democrats in town halls. But why wouldn't they when that's what House Democrats have been messaging? Can we play, before I get to Tom Homan, well, actually just show. I mean, it was just a couple days ago. Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal was on social media and cable news and in town halls calling ICE a terrorist force. So you can't just put this on your constituents. Oh, our constituents want this to get violent. No, you're feeding them. You're fanning the flames. You're telling them things like ICE is a terrorist force. And you're doubling down on social media. She said that at a town hall. She defended it on CNN. ICE is a terrorist force. So now these unhinged lunatics who are already prone to violence because they'll commit acts of violence and vandalism no matter what the cause is, you've now convinced them and given permission that what they're doing is fighting terrorism. And what would you not do if you believe you're really fighting terrorism? They've convinced them, as I've said on the show before, that they're literally fighting the Nazis. We played this clip on the show a couple weeks ago. Washington's Attorney General, Nick Brown, the state's chief law enforcer, was on KUOW calling Donald Trump a fascist.
What we're seeing from the president is, you know, it really does meet the definition of fascism. And I don't say such a thing lightly. I think we have to be very careful about our language. But we're seeing authoritarianism. We're seeing dictatorial behavior. We're seeing that to suppress what the president believes is the opposition, and we're seeing a disregard for the rule of law, all of which are characteristics of a fascist government.
So you have in Washington state the chief law enforcer who gives his seal of approval on the mindset of these far leftists who are prone to violence that they're literally fighting fascism, that they're fighting someone as bad as Hitler and Donald Trump. And then you go back to, again, the flag that those individuals who showed up at that immigration detention center were carrying when they showed up full tactical gear armed with guns, resist fascism. That's what they believe they're doing. And they believe that, one, because they're unhinged, but two, because they're being told that by the highest elected Democrats in the country, including the Attorney General of the state of Washington. And I've said it on the show before, what would you not do? I'd kill some people if I thought they were literally Hitler. If you go back in time and you think you're preventing mass extermination of human beings, what would you not do to stop it? So you got these people who are already deep into brain rot and mental health issues. We see that with Antifa. These are deeply unwell people. But they're also very quick to suggestion. And they hear something from Congresswoman Jayapal, these are terrorists. They hear something from Nick Brown, the Attorney General. And they're like, wow, these are terrorists. These are fascists. This is Trump. This is the Gestapo, whatever it is. And they act on it. And it just confirms what they already feel. And now you've got the highest elected officials in the land saying, this is what they are. Go fight them. None of this is a surprise. And we're already seeing, I'll get to Tom Homan's warning that he's had on this many, many times because he is trying to get Democrats in Congress to stop. But there was a man in New York, this from Bill Malusian of Fox News. A New York man has been arrested and charged federally for allegedly threatening to murder an ICE agent and his children. HSI says 43-year-old Matthew White of Jamestown, New York, posted on X about an ICE agent, quote, I can't wait to put a bullet into his brain, but first his children. HSI says White also made other threatening comments, including responding to a video of Border Czar Tom Homan by saying, "Then understand if your ICE agents don't show proof of identity and a signed warrant, we will kill them." He also allegedly posted, "Kill them all. ICE is the new age Gestapo. Stop them." Where do you think this guy, this 43-year-old from Jamestown, New York, is getting the idea that ICE is the new Gestapo? Could it be from Democrats spewing it on MSNBC and CNN? Could it be from Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal screaming from the rooftops that ICE is a terrorist force? Could it be from people like Attorney General Nick Brown, who claims he wants to choose his words carefully and then calls Trump a dictator and a fascist? And we talk about this all the time, how I believe individual people are responsible for their actions. And in a lot of these instances, when it's politically motivated violence, shootings, etc., I do think you have to be a deeply unwell person to carry it out. And I think there are a lot of Americans who can hear words like that. ICE is a terrorist organization, or acting like terrorists, terrorist force. Donald Trump is fascist. Who they can hear that, and they're not going to take that as a call to violence. But you cannot just absolve, especially when it's this widespread. You cannot just absolve elected leaders in our country of any responsibility at all to cool the temperature or to choose their words more carefully. Because we're seeing in a very widespread way that people are taking those words to heart. They're arming themselves with guns, flying flags that say, resist fascism, and they're heading out to murder ICE agents. And you don't see Democrats condemning it. You don't see Democrats out there. You don't see Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal on the news today saying, hey, I should choose my words more carefully. They're not a terrorist force. They are enforcing the laws as they exist on the books. Let's focus on the laws if we have a problem. Let's not focus on individual federal agents who are out there doing what the law allows them to do. The left is absolutely the party of violence. The left is the party that will resort to anything to get what it wants. And that's just the truth. And I'm not saying that there aren't, I don't care, because people are going to say, well, January 6th. I don't have to couch every single condemnation of left-wing violence with, but January 6th was bad too. Because I've already said that. And it's far outweighed by all the left-wing extremism that is completely ignored in this country day after day, month after month, year after year, decade after decade. And it's not going to stop anytime soon. Because you also have the people who are molding the future minds of America, who are pushing this rhetoric onto children as we speak. The National Education Association, the National Teachers Union, is having a multi-day conference where they decide what their priorities are going to be for the next year. How much do you want to guess that they're talking about Donald Trump being a fascist and immigration and all these highly ideological issues? Quite a bit. Some of their policies that were up for a vote were leaked out in the news media. Only conservatives reported on them, of course, conservative media. They voted on two new policies. They voted to pass them. The first one, NEA pledges to defend democracy against Trump's embrace of fascism by using the term fascism in NEA materials to correctly characterize Donald Trump's program and actions. So now the NEA, the National Teachers Union, says, as far as its policies are concerned, Donald Trump is a fascist. And that is the term that will be used in all of their material to describe the president of the United States. They voted on this a day after people showed up with a fight fascism flag, armed to the teeth, and shot an officer in Texas in the neck. They don't care. The other item they voted on to adopt. NEA opposes immigration and customs enforcement, kidnapping of student leaders, and supports students' rights to organize against ICE raids and deportation. We will protect our students' right to free speech and defend their right to dissent and organize against Trump's policies, including attacks against LGBTQ+ students and against racism. So they'll support their students' rights to protest and organize as long as it's against Donald Trump. as long as it's against ICE and immigration efforts, as long as it's against what they view as transphobia, as long as it's against what they view as racism. So the politicians are doing it. The teachers are doing it. MSNBC, CNN, they're all fanning the flames and giving them a platform to spread it. And then we sit here and act like, oh, you know, that's just a one-off that 10 people showed up at an ICE facility armed with guns. That's just a one-off that a guy showed up outside a Homeland Security office and started shooting inside of it. That's just a one-off that a guy in New York threatened to kill ICE agents, shoot his children in the head, and said that ICE is the new age Gestapo. While the most influential people on the left in the entire country are using the exact same language. Yeah, tell me one more time about January 6th. Absolutely insane. All right, coming up next, this is odd. Oh, it could be an innocent explanation for it. I'll leave all possibilities on the table. But the state of Washington a couple months ago quietly stopped updating a site that allows you, the citizens, to track their spending. Weird, huh? We'll get into it. First, I've told you guys over and over to take the First Mark Challenge. This is one of those things we all need. We all need insurance, right? Are you still handling your insurance on your own? That's for like 20-year-olds who just got off their parents' insurance. They use that little tool that gives them a quote in like 15 seconds or whatever it is. We're adults, okay? We can't do that. We need a professional to handle our insurance needs for us. The nice thing is First Mark Insurance can do it, and they'll do it for free. And they will probably save you money in the process. First Mark has saved Undivided viewers and listeners thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars a year. And that could be you if you take the First Mark Challenge today. Here's what it entails. You give them a call or you sign up on their website to take the First Mark Challenge, gather your current insurance information so they've got it and they can review it. And then you have a phone call with them. You talk about your insurance needs. They go out. They shop the market of carriers for you. They come back with their recommendations. Jacob says that First Mark saved his family $600 on their home, $2,000 a year for his family's cars. And we just hear endless stories like that. So become a member of the First Mark family. It starts by taking the First Mark Challenge, firstmarkinsurance.com, firstmarkinsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you, not the insurance company. So they always have your best interest in mind. Okay, so when Doge became a big thing on the national front, Doge Washington also became a big thing here, where you had citizen sleuths who were digging into the books of the state of Washington, revealing all sorts of nonsense stuff that your money is being spent on. And they got quite a bit of attention for doing it. Maybe too much attention, because now the state of Washington has quietly stopped updating the website that Doge Washington was using. Let's talk about it in our segment, Unbelievable. Okay, so this post came out from Doge Washington late yesterday, and Nicole and I are both like, oh my gosh, we gotta talk about this. And again, I'm open to an innocent explanation for all of this. Nicole has reached out to the state to ask, is there any excuse for this happening? I would be highly suspicious of any answer they gave us, really, because I don't trust any of them. But Doge Washington tweeted this. State spending reports normally update monthly, but stopped updating last March, well, this March, after a barrage of posts highlighting misspending. This, despite the website claiming the legislature created the portal to ensure public accountability. Very fascinating. So here is the website that Doge Washington usually uses, and you can see that all of the reports up to date, 2023, 2024, all the way up to March of 2025. And you could use this portal, go in there, you could type a recipient name, you could go through categories, and there was all sorts of just awesome stuff that was being found in here that we would then talk about on the show. So what kind of things were being publicized around the time that the state of Washington stopped updating this data? I'll just go through a few of them. In mid and also late February, so right around the time they stopped updating these reports, we were reporting a lot, and Doge Washington was, on how much money the Washington Education Association was getting from the state, taxpayer funds. And we ended up finding a ton of it. Badojois tweeted at the time in February of 2025, Democrat-controlled legislature gives $8.6 million in taxpayer funds to the Washington Education Association, which then donates it to the WEA Political Action Committee to support liberal candidates who pass legislation to harm children. And then we ended up finding millions more in additional dollars, did this big report on it, basically saying, here you have Democrats who are gifting their largest political donors tens of millions of dollars in the middle of a budget crisis, and it was this whole big ordeal. Fast forward May 5th, 2025. Remember the art story that Doge Washington broke? How $20,000 in taxpayer funds were given to an out-of-state artist named Sarah Seastrom so they could hang her art at a Des Moines elementary school? Remember how crappy that art was? And how crazy it is that $20,000 for our state's art program is being given to an artist, out-of-state artist, so you can hang two subpar pieces of art at an elementary school? That started getting a lot of attention. In fact, that story went national. And then, of course, at the very end of February, February 24th, so the last thing they published, March 2025, February 24th was the Peace Day Resistance. This got more attention than any other story that Doge Washington had ever brought to light. And it was the fact that your taxpayer money was being given to an entity called Pan Arrows, which is like an art space, essentially. And the art space was hosting things like male Jack O parties. Oh yes, remember Rain City Jacks? Well, a bunch of grown men get together, naked, J-O in front of each other, and they were doing it at Pan Arrows, which is an arts center that hosts sexually oriented things. So that went crazy. So don't you find it a little odd that when Doge Washington uses this accountability website that the legislature created for accountability of public dollars, and when they're pointing out things like, hey, that money is being used to help fund male J.O. parties. Hey, we found out that money is being used for crappy art in elementary schools. Hey, we found out that millions of dollars are being sent to the Washington Education Association for no real purpose. And all of a sudden, just like that, the monthly reports stop being posted. I've reached out to a few people in the legislature. Nicole has as well. Maybe they have an innocent explanation. Maybe they're going through a website update. Maybe they're updating the website so it performs better, so we can more easily find waste and abuse. I don't know. Maybe it's something that Bob Ferguson cut the staff for because he was trying to save us money in the middle of a budget deficit. I don't know. I'm open to options. But I will say it sounds highly, highly suspicious to me. All right, we've got some national news we're going to get to next, including Gavin Newsom said that he realizes it's unfair for boys to compete against girls, yet they're going to allow it to continue. Strange. If you're thinking about selling your home, reach out to our friend Wes Jones at sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. Wes has been a real estate agent in our area for a long time. He's weathered all the market ups and downs, and there's a reason for that. It's because he's very good at what he does. He has exceptional customer service. When he's working with you, you'll feel like you're the only person he's working with. He'll give you the attention you need, help you relieve some of the stress of the home selling process, which I think is a big thing. You know, communication is what I hear from people who use Wes all the time, is his communication is just exceptional. And if you need him, he's there. He'll pick up the phone. And he's going to work hand in hand with you with the best possible strategy. First is highlighting your home and the way it deserves to be highlighted. Is highlight a word? No, it's not. In the way that it deserves to be highlighted. They have an exceptional marketing team. Their pictures, their video of your listing, second to none, going to get more feet in the door, more offers on the table. And then he'll talk to you about some of their other services. He'll start with a free market analysis. You can kind of get an idea of how homes are performing in your area. And then they can talk to you about the Listing Boost Concierge service. He'll take all the stress away from preparing your home for sale. So if that means you need to make some cosmetic upgrades, he can handle that. He can manage the contractor so you don't have to do a thing, and you don't even have to pay for it until closing. So that takes the financial stress off as well. So sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. It is simply just a better way to sell your home. All right. So you'll probably recall Gavin Newsom. I'm going to play this video first, if that's all right, Nicole. Gavin Newsom, when he was, trying to act like a moderate for like a brief period of time, that lasted all of 2 months. he was doing this podcast where he was inviting all these Republicans on his show because he wants to be president someday. So maybe he's thinking, hey, I need to be more moderate or I need to appeal to Republicans. And he had Charlie Kirk on his show. And Charlie Kirk was asking him, they were having a conversation about, you know, men and women's sports. And Gavin Newsom said something that I think surprised a lot of people at the time.
It's like, you right now should come out and be like, you know what? The young man who's about to win the state championship in the long jump in female sports,
that
shouldn't happen. You as the governor should step out say no.
No, and I appreciate.
But like, would you do something like that? Would you say no men in female sports?
Well, I think it's an issue of fairness. I completely agree with you on that. So that's easy to call out, the unfairness of that.
Okay. Easy to call out the unfairness of it. Yet California is going to still allow it to happen despite the threats from the Trump administration and the White House. In fact, remember, we spoke on the show a few weeks ago, California was suing and still has legal actions. You've got the governor who says it's unfair, yet they're gonna spend taxpayer funds suing the Trump administration and the White House to try to continue to allow it to happen? That's just mind-boggling. This from the Modesto Bee. California will not block trans athletes from school sports, defying the White House. It says that California becomes the second state after Maine to defy the Trump administration over the issue because California. So first of all, I don't like the characterization of that because there are far more than two states defying Trump over the issue. Washington State, as we speak, is defying Trump over the issue, except Maine and California have been the two states that the Trump administration has singled out and threatened with action. So under the threat of action from the Trump administration, the state of California is saying we're not going to back down. U.S. Education Secretary Linda McMahon had given California 10 days from June 27th to rescind any sports prizes awarded to trans athletes and ban them after the agency's Office of Civil Rights said the state violated federal anti-discrimination law. So if you do the math, 10 days from June 27th was July 7th. It is July 8th today. So the state of California said it's not going to comply with this federal agreement that they were trying to reach, requiring the state to rescind the guidelines and any awards that were given out and instances where female athletes lost, cisgender female athletes lost. I love how the Modesto Bee puts it that way. And send cisgender female athletes who lost to a trans opponent personalized apologies. Just female athletes is fine. You don't have to say cisgender. Just female athletes is fine. Governor Newsom's office called McMahon's proposed agreement a political document that carried no weight and would force the state to illegally violate its own anti-discrimination laws. So, of course, this is all going to be sorted out in a court of law. If it leads to the state of California losing federal funds, then I guess they have to decide at that time, does it continue to be worth it over something that, again, Gavin Newsom said is unfair? Yet they're still going to do it. That's just wild stuff. I posted on, gosh, what was it? Oh, Bob Ferguson. He was on his Facebook page posting, he always does this, posts a picture of his daughter after softball. Apparently, she's like a pretty exceptionally good softball player. And there were recruits watching her game. I think he posted something about being proud about his daughter and she's getting the attention of some recruits for softball. Good for her. This has nothing to do for me with Bob Ferguson's daughter. Everything to do with Bob Ferguson. Because I posted on that and I said, okay, is your daughter playing against boys in her elite private school? My guess is probably not. How would you feel if she had to play against boys in her private school? And if you wouldn't feel good about that, then why don't you extend the same ability of other female athletes to not have to compete against boys? Whew, you would not believe the hate and vitriol directed my way after commenting on that. People, Brandy, by the way you talk, you would think that 90% of athletes are trans. There's only like 20 nationwide, which I think they just pulled that out of their bum bums. I don't know where that statistic came from. But here I'm like, there really are people this unhinged that think it's a non-issue. Would you feel that way if it's your child? No. And one man competing against women, one boy competing against girls is one too many because it just doesn't make any sense. And as Gavin Newsom said himself, it's unfair. It's unfair. So let's not keep doing it. But you would, if you want some entertainment, go find Bob Ferguson's Facebook post, Nicole, and you guys, where he's talking about his daughter and celebrating her achievement in athletics and read the responses to my it was a very calm, sane comment about boys competing against girls. Now, one of the reasons I care so much about what happens in California and in Maine, frankly, is those are the states the Trump administration has chosen to make examples out of. So I think how those end up obviously is going to have a pretty big implication on this issue across the country and in states like Washington that continue to allow boys to compete against girls. Now, I said that I thought if California gives in, then Washington will give in pretty quickly after that, because I think it gives them a little more political expediency, a little more political cover to be able to do it. So whatever happens in California, I think Washington is watching closely and will respond in kind. I just don't know what that is going to look like. So never a dull day when I'm commenting on Bob Ferguson's Facebook, although they haven't blocked me yet. So I guess maybe he's not as, well, he probably doesn't watch. He probably is not watching it, I would hope. He's got a state to run. All right, I want to get to our subscriber poll. So there have been a lot of federal charges in the last couple weeks against Antifa rioters. And under the Biden administration, we didn't see that. I mean, even after the summer of love in 2020 in Seattle, there were only a couple individuals who ever faced federal charges. A couple of them who had lit police cars on fire and stolen police rifles out of those cars, which my security guard quickly disarmed them of and got back to their to the police. Very proud of him. So there were only a couple. There could have been hundreds, if not thousands, given everything that was happening across the country. But under Donald Trump, the feds and the Department of Justice have been vigorously arresting and going after these anti-ICE rioters. I mean, down in Portland especially, there's been, gosh, I want to say it's up to maybe 28 or so who have been charged federally with some serious crimes, with attacking officers. One guy grabbed the genitals of, which is just weird, grabbed the genitals and like pulled and squeezed the genitals of three federal agents. Is it a boy or a girl? It's a man pretending to be a woman, threw a machete at federal agents. So there's been quite a few. So I asked you guys, do you think this will have kind of a positive effect on dissuading riots if these individuals are actually charged federally? Do you think it'll send a message that will help to quell the unrest? Yes, no, or I gave you a third option, because I'm nice, only if there is ultimately prosecution. But Nicole, what do you think? Well, just the act of like, hey, you're arrested and charged, and now they're starting to see that there might be consequences on the horizon. Do you think that quells anything?
No. I think they're already mentally unstable people. So I think as long as they have something to get mad about and cause a ruckus, they will. And so I don't really see it quelling them.
If they see their friends getting charged with federal attempt assault on a police officer.
So maybe some of the, you know, the working protesters, like the normal.
So none.
Like, yeah, I don't know what these people do that they're afraid of that, right? So they're just going to be bailed out by some bail fund and then, I don't know, will anything ever happen to them? I don't know what they're scared of. I don't know. I haven't seen them scared of much.
Yeah. Most people, 90% in our subscriber poll, are saying only if there's prosecution. Yeah. So there has to be, and that could take months and months. And then by then, you know, all these months of riding will have gone by. Sand says, it is just plain dumb that so many have not been prosecuted. The soft on crime attitude has proven to encourage crime. Discipline is needed. And really, the feds are the only ones doing it. You don't see a lot of these city police departments and sanctuary areas coming in and affecting arrests. I mean, we haven't seen it in Seattle. You are certainly not seeing it in Portland, where Portland police are like, hands off, you can assault those federal agents in our city and we don't really care at all. So it's not a surprise that in these areas in particular, they feel so emboldened to be able to commit serious acts of violence out in the open, on camera, albeit with their faces covered, but because they've done it so many times and there's been no repercussions, and even arrests that have been made in Seattle, if they're, you know, a misdemeanor or a felony arrest that goes to the King County Prosecutor's Office, you know, there haven't been charges. So the Cam Higby case, before I read more of your guys' comments on this, the guy who attacked Cam Higby, Jeremy Lawson, still hasn't been arrested. To my knowledge, still has not been charged. Even though it's on video, they know who he is. King County prosecutors still have this case. He was out at a riot, the riot that happened on Capitol Hill in Cal Anderson Park over the weekend, 4th of July. Somebody took a picture and sent it to me. And he's out there, no mask now, had no mask on. So he's, why wouldn't he be emboldened? It's been like 4 weeks since he assaulted a journalist. And since his identity was put out there. And he still hasn't been arrested or charged. So now he's out at the riots with no mask on at all. with not a care in the world. It's so crazy to me that that guy has not been charged. I mean, that is, if he it was a right winger who attacked, I gave the example on the show of a right winger who attacked journalists. It took days to identify, just a couple days to identify him, arrest him, and charge him. Wild, wild. And he got like 6 months. I mean, he had to spend 6 months in jail, which around here is a pretty hefty penalty if they send any of these riders to jail for any amount of time. Let's see, Steve, some of these riders want to be arrested. That's a badge of honor for them. They won't be so courageous if there are serious penalties. E, insurrection charges apply. Vandalism of government property apply. Assault of federal officers apply. Impedance of federal law obstructing justice apply. Terrorizing citizens apply. Hate crimes apply. He says that she's basically saying they should throw the book, all these things at them and keep them in federal prison for a while. Jen, you can arrest all you want, but if there's no prosecution, all it means is that you might get 3 free square meals and an uncomfortable bed for the night. So many of these fools are paid actors, and the going rate for their actions outweighs their slap on the wrist. Again, we're talking about our daily subscriber show poll, asking subscribers if they believe federal charges against ICE rioters will send a message and quell the unrest that's happening across the country. Sandy says, needs to be federal prosecution so that they will actually hold these rioters accountable. And Bob says, stiff penalties would definitely be a deterrent for the majority of these clowns. Cool. Yeah, I guess I agree. There has to be some sort of follow through that actually happens in that regard. So,
and like you said, it's going to take so long. I don't see how it makes a difference anytime soon.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. So I guess we'll see. I'm happy they're doing it. I don't want to act like I think it's for nothing. You absolutely need to arrest them. And, you know, if they spend a couple nights in jail while they're awaiting some sort of arraignment or whatever it is, and that's just a couple nights that they're not out on the streets. Okay, we'll get to comments and our closing sanity check coming up in a moment. First, if your retirement portfolio was a sports team, how did it perform in the first half of 2025? If you're unsure, that's probably a good indication you should check on it. If it performed very poorly, I think the question is your financial advisor making any halftime adjustments? So if you're curious about any of this or you just don't know, join Bulwark Capital's Zach Abraham for his halftime webinar. It's happening Thursday, July 24th. The halftime webinar will not be a rah-rah speech. It'll be a straight-up X's and O's discussion on global unrest affecting the market. Also, perspective on the outlook for the second half of 2025, plus a full reveal of how Bulwark is always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, and give your retirement as much upside as possible. Hear directly from Zach Abraham as he shares insights in this free halftime webinar. Again, Thursday, July 24th. You can register for free right now. KnowYourRiskPodcast.com. KnowYourRiskPodcast.com. And if you can't make the webinar, at least take time to get a second opinion with Zach and his team. Totally free. Schedule your Know Your Risk portfolio review also at KnowYourRiskPodcast.com. Okay, let's get to some comments from the live chat today on the Election Observer, who's going to trial today. Cannot believe we're at this point. That's just so ridiculous. Haynes says, Island County obviously has all their big problems solved. Yeah, no other issues that the prosecutor needs to focus his attention on in Island County. Got to focus on someone not wearing a mask in 2024, long after COVID. Wild. My Cup of Tea 101 says, absolutely dystopian what they're doing to the Observer. It's wild. I mean, honestly, people should pack the courtroom. Pack the courtroom. Support Tim. I would, but I can't do the show and also go all the way there to pack the courtroom. Excuses, I know. Charlie K, Greg Banks should be reported to the hate crime hotline. Hey, that's what it's there for.
Yeah.
If you feel,
go for it,
in your heart of hearts that you've been subjected to a hate crime or a bias incident, you got to call the hate crime hotline. All right, on the Trump police supporter's home being shot up in Ballard. Hello, Watermelon. Hope she reports it to the hate hotline. Sherry on Facebook, sadly, this is why I don't put those signs up on a busy street. I'm almost afraid to put the American flag up, but that's one thing I won't put to the side. Good for you. But isn't that true? You know, that's what really infuriated me about the No Kings March is, oh, they're all flying American flags. They've got these big banners about the Constitution, and some of them even had the Don't Tread on Me flag. Like, these are people who vilified the American flag for years and years and years as a symbol of Donald Trump and fascism.
I didn't see the Don't Tread on Me flag.
Oh, my God.
At the No Kings?
Yes. So they're trying to use sort of like what has, I think, been symbols embraced by mm-hmm. conservatives who actually do believe in limited government and freedom and all that. And these are people who support mm-hmm. all these policies that grow the size of government, that make you less free. But now they're using those symbols that they vilified as for their cause. It's just like, oh, my God, wow. Give me a break. It does make me sad, though. I mean, there are people who would look at an American flag on your home and be like, Trump supporter.
Oh, it was infuriating to me to see posts about the 4th of July and saying, I'm celebrating getting together with family and nothing else today, or nothing to celebrate today. And like, upside down flag. Move. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Just move. Go away.
Oh my God.
It's people that don't realize how lucky they are.
They need to spend a couple months in a third world country. We talked about this.
Yeah.
You can get your student loans forgiven if you do some sort of trip abroad, charity work somewhere of the government's choosing. And if you make it back alive, you can get your student loans forgiven. It's just wild.
Communism does to a country.
They've never, you don't see people fleeing capitalism to go to communist societies. You just don't see it. And it's really because they haven't had... They're just desperate for something to be the victim over. They're desperate for a struggle because a lot of these kids have never had a struggle, known a real struggle in their life, like the greatest generation and people being sent to war and lying about their age so they could go to war and defend the country. And even after 9/11, all the people who signed up to go overseas and defend our country, I mean, these people, there just hasn't been anything for them that has been a true test, I guess, of their patriotism and their loyalty to the country. So they just manufacture things to be angry about.
Right. Maybe we need it's to wild. Start a messaging flip early on, because I think our generation has been taught everything has to be fair. You have to share toys and you have to be fair and fair. And I was with a bunch of kids this weekend and everybody, you know, the sisters wanted everything to be fair and everybody had to get the same thing and whatever. And I was like, you know, that's maybe where our messaging goes wrong, because life is not fair.
No, fight to the death for it.
Yeah. Yes. Everything is, you know, I mean, things are earned. Things are, you know, it's luck.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're blessed. Sometimes you're not. Sometimes you're lucky. Sometimes you're not. And yeah, I think our kids are kind of getting the wrong messaging out of that.
Oh, 100%. Be fair. They're thing. All the ultimate victims. On federal agents being attacked amid all the increased vitriol, Two Ladies Midwest Adventures, Brandy and Nicole, there's so much more happening in so many areas, as most are seeing just these events happening. Most are missing what is being pushed in schools supporting this behavior USA-wide. And I think there were some missed chats from yesterday, if they're in, maybe there wasn't.
One was like Happy Monday, so thank you for saying Happy Monday. Sorry, we missed that.
It also said, Brandy, there are actual defense funds set up to defend Antifa and other extremist groups. Remember the attorneys following them before. Yeah, those funds exist everywhere. Cynthia Martin, I need a minute to process this much stupidity. Sorry, the stupidity got me there for a second, LOL. Brian, perfect. A bunch of communists defining what a fascist is. Yeah, these are people who will use any means necessary, deadly force, in order to protect their worldview. Like, you're way more fascist than anyone else. It's just wild. Monty Dunnington, elected officials are not above the law. They should be arrested for promoting killing and violence, period. At the very least, there should be accountability, but nobody wants to hold their side accountable. Nobody. Nobody wants to say, oh, you know, Congresswoman, you really shouldn't have said that. You know, we expect better of you. Nobody expects better of their own side. They're like, oh, race to the bottom in the gutter. Totally fine. I mean, I called out, what's his face for making jokes about the violence against those the shootings of those Democratic elected officials in Minnesota. Was it Mike Lee? I think it was Congressman Mike Lee who was making jokes about it. And it was just like, dude, like, this is so disgusting. Right. It doesn't have to be hard. I don't understand. California on defying Trump's trans policy. Salty says, no one is saying to block them from sports. Just keep males from competing against females. It's really not that hard. Yes, right. Let them compete.
Pardon me. I kind of wish we could just put like a little poll on ballots.
Yes.
What's your thought on this?
We might
see a real stat on how people feel about that.
There is apparently maybe going to be an initiative on boys and girls sports in Washington. And honestly, if somebody is doing that and it makes it to the ballot, to me, it would be overwhelmingly supported. I mean, I said that about the last initiatives. You can't underestimate how much $40 million in lies on TV will sway public opinion about something. But
yeah. And it's how they phrase it on the stupid ballots, how they, I don't know. There's just so much they really work against us there.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, and they just make everything
And they
ridiculous.
Make it a Republican-Democrat thing, and it's not right. a Republican-Democrat thing.
No, it's a brain versus no brain. Functioning they, brain versus a non-functioning
it's
brain.
It's a real thing. Brainwash thing. They really come in and say, like, if you don't do this and you're with them and you don't care, you know? And it blows my mind.
Speaking of brainwashed, because if you made it to this point in the show, you're a diehard and I trust your opinion. Okay? If you tune in for 5 minutes and tune out, I don't trust your opinion. No, I'm just kidding. Is there anything you think I'm brainwashed about? Share it in the comments. Is there anything you think that I'm brainwashed about? Because I've had my red pilling, right? Mm. And I think our viewers are pretty reasonable. So you tell me, if I'm acting brainwashed about anything, I want you to tell me. I want to know, because sometimes I'm in my own little echo chamber too. The algorithm is feeding me things. It's influencing my mind. Sometimes I need to touch some grass. So you tell me if there's anything I'm being brainwashed about that I need a wake-up call
Somebody
on.
Somebody said abortion. Oh, of course. You knew that was coming. And mail-in voting.
Oh, I'm being brainwashed on abortion and mail-in voting. Okay, hey, I'm open to it. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, those are your two things, kind of.
Yeah, that happened really fast. That happened really quick.
Matt says turkey hunting.
I thought that you were going to come up with some things that maybe I'm too far right on, but you came up with things that I'm too far to the left on. You know, mail-in voting, maybe that's something I could see myself changing over time as more information comes in. Maybe it's just because I'm lazy and I support mail-in voting and I wouldn't abuse mail-in voting. Wow, I guess I asked and they answered and it took 3 seconds. Thanks, guys. No, I trust
back
you.
Back to back.
Okay, those. Everybody's saying abortion, abortion, abortion. Hey, at least if I run for office one day, they cannot say that I'm anti-abortion.
There you go.
Right? So they can't say it because I've always been pro-choice. Up to fetal viability.
Abortion for sure. Yeah, mail-in voting. Mail-in voting. Mail-in voting.
I asked. Yeah. I asked. You answered. Okay, I'll noodle on those things. I'll noodle on them. All right. Thanks, Nicole. Yep. I think. I don't know. Nicole enjoyed that way too much. with that, let's get to our closing sanity check, shall we? Da-da! All right. I love this. Speaking of entitled little prick children, I think with that comes... You know, maybe some parenting issues. We have to be honest with ourselves. Man, I was up with a group of people for 4th of July and I loved them all. But it's interesting to see when you get around, you know, kids all in their early 20s, such a difference, right? Such a difference in their behavior, you know, kid to kid. And you sort of get a sense of like how much parenting rubbed off on each individual one. So our sanity check takes us to Indianapolis. We're going to hear from Metro Police Department Chief Chris Bailey in response to a July 5th mass shooting downtown.
Hundreds of unsupervised kids down here. I don't know how many times I have to say it.
Preach.
We are not your children's keepers. You are. And parents and guardians have got to step up. A kid is dead tonight. And I gotta be honest, I'm tired of it. You should be tired of it. This is not our job to do this. It is unnecessary. You don't have to act like this.
We are not the keepers of your kids. And that's true. Too many people want to look to the police and the government and say, why didn't you break this up? Why didn't you do that? Instead of looking at parents and saying, where are your freaking kids? Same with Antifa, okay? You know how young some of those Antifa rioters are that have been down at the federal building in Seattle and outside the ICE facility in Portland? They need a good spanking. Stat. That has been your closing sanity check for today. That has been today's episode of Undivided. You continue to post things that I'm misguided about. Somebody said I give Trump too much credit.
Oh.
Somebody said I'm brainwashed over my love for my dogs. True. There's a lot of other ones in here, too.
Dogs one's good.
Yeah. Somebody says I'm brainwashed over January 6th. It's not what I think. I'm going to read these, okay?
Aliens.
Aliens? No. Aliens are real. Stop it. Come on, guys. We're smarter than that. Aliens are real, so are ancient aliens. We can get into that on... Maybe I'll do a special show about aliens and invite in the guy from Ancient Aliens. Oh my God, I'm going to do it. Okay. I'm going to do it. I'm so excited. That has been today's episode of Undivided. if you support the show, please do it financially. It's just $5 a month. It's how the show exists and is growing by the day. UndividedPod.com, UndividedPOD.com, and then just click on the banner that says support the show. Toodaloo.